coming to you live from outside the Texas state capitol.
We're on the glorious greenish, yellowish, brownish lawn in Texas in winter.
And Maria's wearing shorts.
Shorts, you guys. Shorts.
I'm wearing a dress.
And no tights.
Ben is naked.
Uh-huh. I do have socks on, but they're low-cut socks,
wow.
So they don't look weird.
He's showing some ankle.
Wow.
And coming up in the show today, in a little bit, we're going to play some live interviews we recorded at the Midnight Gate Crash pre-release that we all attended. So be sure to listen to those. It's pretty entertaining.
Yes.
Including, you're going to hear Megan give an interview with me at 5 in the morning. It's
not my most coherent interview.
It's pretty funny, everybody.
Ever.
This is a special edition because we're back with Megan.
Yeah.
Reunion,
hey guys.
Party.
Woo! It's also a special edition because we're going to talk about Gate Crash.
G to the C Crash.
Pre-re, what's up? Let's explain for a second why we're outside the Texas State Capitol. We normally are recording from Minnesota, the frozen tundra.
That's true. But it's really cold there, so we went on vacation. We're in Austin, which is kind of where Megan is from when she's not homeless.
Hey, guys. I'm not homeless. I'm just one of many homes.
Right. All right, I want to first tell everybody if you want to contact us, you can hit us up on email, magicktheamaturing@gmail.com, spelled like amateur with an ing on the end of it. I know it's hard, you guys, but
it's confusing. It's a big word.
It is a big word, but
and not a real word.
That's probably important to point out.
Mm.
You can also go to our website, magicktheamaturing.com, and find us on Twitter at MTAcast, magicktheamaturingcast. We're getting up there in followers, you guys. I think we got like 15.
Mm. We're catching up to Oprah.
Someday.
That's the big chase.
Right. The only question is if we're going to surpass Oprah first or Bieber first.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I think that depends on which one of them has surpassed the other one of them.
It's only a matter of time before one of them starts retweeting us.
That's right.
We probably have to tweet at them.
No. Hey. Let them come to us. We don't want to sound desperate.
I'm pretty sure that Oprah plays a ton of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Probably.
Right.
After she lost her TV show, she's freaking hours.
Yeah, she's got a lot of time.
Nobody watches OWN.
Right.
Gate Crash, guys.
Yeah. I had fun.
I had an awesome time despite getting my ass kicked.
It was pretty sweet. What did we do? That was pretty special.
Let's see. We went to the Midnight pre-release.
Oh, man. Midnight. Whew.
Yeah.
More like 2 a.m. pre-release.
That's true. Once it got started, we were there until 5:15, 5:30 in the morning.
Yep. It's I've never been to a midnight pre-release before, guys. I have been to a few. This is also the only pre-release I've ever been to where people are just, you know, drinking out of paper bags.
The spirit of magic.
It was kind of a big party. It was huge. It was a huge event. There were like, what?
160 people.
Yeah, 160 people.
We should give a shout out to Pat's Games, which is where we went to the pre-release.
In Austin, Texas.
Yeah, in Austin, Texas. They've got a pretty insane setup going on over there for their pre-releases. Wow.
Yeah,
they do.
And they have land cards that you can buy out of a vending machine, you guys.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Check that out. I heard it's on Reddit, that picture.
It's the bomb.
Can I say something I saw at the pre-release that was pretty cool?
Go for it.
I saw like an 8-year-old giving rules advice to the guy, to my opponent.
Sure, yes.
I think that was pretty amazing.
That was.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
That kid, like Maria and I, that kid had a good mentor.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I mean, we had a great time. There's tons of people there. It went until like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
5 in the morning. Ben went 3-0.
I did. Here's a tip. If your first round opponent doesn't show up, that helps a lot.
What guild were you playing, Ben?
I played Simic.
How was that?
It was pretty fun. I had a couple big 7 drops in my deck that helped me get there, and I was pretty worried that I was never going to survive long enough to cast those 7 drops. But I did not play Boros, so that helped.
Now, overall, like, did you feel great about playing Simic, or how did you feel about that guild overall after having played it?
I don't think I understand them. I mean, I don't know how they'll play out in draft. I think they are not the best guild for sure. They're probably like third or fourth, as far as I can tell. I don't know.
What do you think is one and two?
I think Boros is number one, and then Orzhov is probably number two.
All right. Megan, how'd you do?
Let's see. At the midnight pre-release, I went Gruul, and I did very poorly. I went one and two, and the one was when my opponent didn't show up.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I felt like I enjoyed it, and Gruul had a lot of potential, but in my sealed packs, I didn't have a lot of cards with the Blood Rush mechanic.
Sure.
And without Blood Rush...
What is Gruul?
Exactly. Without a pretty significant amount of Blood Rush in your deck, I don't think that Gruul is a great guild. When you do have Blood Rush in your hand, it's sweet. Dealing someone 12 points of damage with one creature in one turn is a very powerful feeling, guys.
It's like, what's Texas without the Alamo?
Exactly. Okay, Texas is a lot without the Alamo. We lost.
Okay.
What's Texas without all of those cities in Texas?
What's Texas without its lines defining it as Texas?
Yeah.
On a map.
There you go. Actually, it's not just lines that define Texas. It's our border is mostly defined by rivers. You're welcome.
Wow.
Wow.
What a nerd.
Well, guys...
We have to take a whole year of Texas history. That is a year of schooling.
Really? We certainly did not take Minnesota history because I have no idea.
Mm.
Voyageurs, I think.
Yep.
Leif Erikson.
Vikings.
Right.
Paul Bunyan.
Prince.
Yep. There you go.
That's all you need to know.
All right. Maria, what about you?
I played Boros, and I went 2-1. And it was...
And your deck... was absurd.
It was pretty good, everybody.
It was so saucy. Tell them about the rares, Maria. Tell them about the rares.
Sure. I had Aurelia's Fury.
Oh.
Ben thinks that's the best rare and better than Gideon.
I do. Tweet me if you think I'm wrong, but that has to be the best limited rare.
At MTA Cast. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. And the rest of my deck was great, too. I had 3 Sky Knight Legionnaires, I think, which really drove it home.
Skylight Legionnaire, a common.
Skylight?
Sky Knight.
Did I say Skylight?
I don't know.
No, Megan said Skylight.
Oh.
Skylight Legionnaire would be a pretty sweet car, though.
Yes.
That sounds like a car.
Yeah.
Okay. Sky Knight Legionnaire is a common and a pretty sweet card. But Ben, can you tell us about why Aurelia's Fury is such a good card?
Right. And Bleeding a Planeswalker?
Well, it's so flexible, you guys.
Everybody, Ben has a boner right now.
I have a visible boner.
Well, you're naked.
Right. That's helping. But this is totally legal because we're in Austin.
You can't get arrested in Austin for being naked.
So, Aurelia's Fury is good because, I mean, fireballs are already insane because they're really good in the late game because they can just help you finish your opponent, you know, deal X amount of damage to them and win the game. And they're really good as removal. And this one has even another bonus in that it can just tap down all their creatures, which can be used either defensively or aggressively or both. So you can do it right before they were going to attack and just tap down all their guys, and then they don't get to attack. Or you can do it right before they end their turn, and then you can surprise swing in with everything. So this card has a lot of ways to get you out of a lot of situations, and it's never going to be bad. Sometimes it might, you know, just be a removal spell, which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
And in the best case, it's just going to help you win the game.
Yeah.
How was it for you, Maria? What was your experience with the card?
I think I used it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once, but only once for, like, just a basic removal.
Yeah.
And once to tap them down and win.
Nice.
There's another really great Boros card that I liked a lot.
Firemane Angel? Was that it?
Firemane Avenger?
Firemane Avenger, yeah.
Right. Yes, I had that card as well.
Hmm. Or Foundry Champion?
Ooh. Well, that so Foundry Champion is the was the promo foil, right?
Right.
Still a really good card. 6 mana, 4/4, when it enters the battlefield, deals damage equal to the number of creatures you control to target creature or player.
Right.
And it has fire breathing. And it has butt breathing.
What's
white fire breathing.
On the butt.
On the butt.
Butt breathing. Here's something I learned playing at the pre-release against Gruul, which I didn't pull my cards I needed in my second round and lost. I was also playing someone who was pretty good, but he was playing Gruul, splashing something else. But you got to be careful with Gruul because if they blood rush you, if they attack you and you leave them open and don't block, there is the potential for them to like do 11 damage into you.
Yeah.
And that's pretty scary.
Yep.
Guys, I got to be on the end of dealing that 11 damage.
How'd it feel?
It's amazing. It's amazing. As soon as you attack and someone doesn't declare a blocker, it's like Christmas came early. It's like you just gave me a beautiful gift by leaving a door wide open.
Yeah. And there's no, I mean, how can you tell? Some of those blood rush guys are not that expensive to blood rush.
That's true. And an especially good one is Scorch, what was it? Scorch something. Scorchwalker or, I don't know.
Scorchmane Avenger.
Thank you. And it's a...
No, I just made that up.
Oh, I think that sounds real.
That might be right.
You guys, whatever. This is cute. We're just learning about these cards.
I know. And right now we don't have them in our hands, so we can't look at them. But anyways, it's a 5/1 and you can blood rush it for 3. And I found that to be an especially great blood rush card when someone hasn't declared a blocker.
Yeah.
Because you're not concerned about your creature's toughness. And in this case, that's once you play that card, if you played it as a creature, it's a very fragile 5/1. If you blood rush it, you just did them 5 points of damage.
Boom.
Boom.
Cool.
Eat it.
We did play a second pre-release where I played Simic and you two played Orzhov.
Yep.
Yes.
How did you feel about Orzhov after that pre-release?
I felt pretty good about Orzhov. I had a lot of extort guys and in the Guild Mage, and I was able to just grind them out and make the games go long. I did play against Boros with that deck, and there were some very close games where he got some very aggressive starts. But if I was able to survive that and trade off guys and make it to the late game, then, yeah, I was pretty much unbeatable.
And how did you feel?
I really enjoyed Orzhov. Again, I felt like the mechanic is pretty important to have on your cards.
Yeah.
Ben and I played a couple of Orzhov games, and all of the games that I played actually at the pre-release were Orzhov. And those just went ridiculously long. Those were long games.
Where everything happened.
Yes, as we like to say, everything happened. Every card that could have been played got played.
Yeah, man, those Orzhov mirror matches are pretty nuts from what I saw.
Mm. It's a good time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was so much math. So much math. Columns and columns and columns of math.
We're still working through the numbers now. We don't actually know
who
won.
We're
still trying to figure it out.
There's a few hanging chads.
Exactly. I was especially happy. I pulled an Obsidat.
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce that.
The guild leader.
But that card, once you get it into play, and it's only 5 mana, so if you've got it in your hand pretty early in the game, that's a sweet card. The way it works, you've probably seen it, but just in case. When it enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to your opponent, and you gain 2 life. And then it's a 5/5 with haste. So you can play it as an attacker if you would like. And at the end of your turn, you can exile it and then return it to the battlefield, dealing your opponent 2 damage and gaining 2 life at the beginning of your next turn.
Awesome.
So. Saucy.
Very.
Now we're going to play some interviews that we did at the Gatecrash Midnight pre-release. We went around and talked to some people, met a lot of people from Texas, various other corners of the world. And this
mostly
is
Texas.
Mostly Texas. I don't know if there is anyone from anywhere else. I'm just trying to sell it, you guys.
Nice. I'm on board.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's listen.
And let's take a listen. Megan. Yeah. We just pulled up to this magic store in Austin, Texas. What's your first impression?
Maria, I know where we are, and I can't believe it. I'm floored.
Describe the scene. First of all, Ben is moving the car because we parked illegally.
The parking lot is full. This is Party Central, guys. This place is hopping.
I mean, they're flashing lights. They're playing
yes.
a party song.
Everyone is drinking.
So I feel good about our chances. Everybody's drunk. Ben, what are your first impressions of this event?
There's lots of vine trellises all over.
And what kind of legwear am I wearing currently?
Those are cutoffs. Same legwear that my uncle wears to ski.
I don't know your uncle, but now I want to. Let me just ask you what your goals are for tonight's pre-release before it gets underway. Just mere minutes, Megan.
I just want to win at least one match.
And what will you be running?
Gruul.
Ben, your goals.
My goal is to win at least every match.
Right. We said you were going to commit ritual suicide if you lost here tonight. Is that true?
Dark ritual suicide.
All right. Megan, do you want to go assault some people?
Yeah, let's do it.
Gentlemen, may I talk to you for a moment?
Sure.
We do a podcast, Magic the Amateuring, and we just want to talk to you guys a little bit about what you're excited for tonight.
Who wants to go?
Boros Charm. I'm not even playing Boros, and I'm excited for that card.
What are you playing?
Demir.
Oh, you're the only one.
I'm playing Simic.
Oh, that's cool. So what are you most excited to try with Simic?
All the cards, all of them. I don't know. It's blue. It's like green. Pokemon. You're going to be big and douchey at the same time.
Perfect combination. Yeah. Perfect. How about you, sir?
I'm looking for Boros Charms and stuff like that. Maybe getting a good mythic. That'd be awesome, but...
Yeah. Is this anybody's first pre-release event? Are you all veterans?
Veteran, definitely. Big time. I've been playing since Invasion.
Oh, my.
Invasion as well.
Invasion, you?
I'm pretty new. I started last year.
Well, we started in October, so we're amateurs. Thank you, gentlemen.
Nonsense.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Can we talk to you? So you're an amateur. How long have you been playing, sir?
This is my second week playing.
Oh, so you're a true amateur. How do you like the game so far?
I loved it so far. One of my buddies brought me out here 3 weeks ago, and I just watched. And then I picked it up last week, and I've invested too much money too quickly into it, I can say that.
How much is too much?
Within 14 days, probably like $200.
That may be a land speed record. I think I heard the sound barrier break when you told me that. What
guilds are you guys going?
I'm going Boros.
Going green, red.
Gruul.
Going Orzhov, I just really, really love black-white. I think they make the most interesting color combination.
Well, Orzhov, from all the chatter on the internet, seems to be, you know, top of the list.
The hyped up one, exactly.
Black-white, but I decided against it.
So what are you most excited for, looking forward to at the pre-release?
Just opening the packs.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's like, it honestly feels like, you know, being Christmas yeah. is like a first grader again. I mean, it really does. It's great. And then also just, no one really has any experience, building in this format. So in some ways, it's, you know, completely new intellectual exercise, just kind of figuring it out. I really think limited formats are really defined by cards at the common level versus the rares and mystic rares. And I really like this white card called Siddiq of Tides. It's one white, one uncolored. It's a 2/2, but it's got extort on it. So, I mean, it's a good, you know, it's a good turn to... get in, you know, can get in there, but ideally, if you can get it out early in the game and just keep it from dying, it can be you can use the extort over and over and over again. So I think, you know, if you're going Orzhov, I mean, my prediction is that when people start drafting, that might be a kind of a coveted card, just depending on the speed of the format.
Just sit back and tax the crap out of them, right?
Exactly. It might be the new, you know,
Russian
the
government.
New, the new stab wound or something, like an RTR. It reminded me of who's that guy, Chef, who did the infomercial, Chef Tony, set it and forget it. To me, stab wound was like the ultimate set it and forget it card. You throw it out there, and then, like, you just win.
Wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen. Sure.
Thank you so much.
I want to know what you guys are excited for at the pre-release.
Just like the event itself. Like just being here, hanging out with a bunch of people. A lot of fun.
What guild are you running?
Simic.
Wait, did you just combine Simic and Demir?
Yes, yeah. But Simic. I'm running both at the same time.
How about you guys?
I'm just here to watch. I'm not playing.
Oh, you're just a spectator. Did you bring like popcorn and a foam finger?
No, I should have, though.
AJ.
Yeah, I didn't think that one through. I should have.
I have a cheerleader costume in my car if you want it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll work it out. Are you playing tonight?
Yeah, I'm playing tonight.
Okay, what are you going to run?
I'm running Boros.
Boros. I was going to get Simic because your hair is lovely blue green.
I'm running tomorrow, so we're all right.
Okay.
I have to do that.
Was your hair in honor of Simic?
No, I mean, this is just a normal thing, but that's good. It'll help me win. It'll be all right. I'm going to confuse people. They're thinking I'm playing Simic, and then this red shit's going to fly out, and it's going to be awesome.
Because your shirt is also blue-green.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, I mean, we got shoes, too. We're good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, imagine all day.
I have those shoes. I just want to let you know.
Oh, nice.
I'm going Boros. That's why I'm wearing red shorts.
He's going to show up tomorrow, and his hair is going to be red, and he's going to be wearing entirely red and white.
Yeah, let me ask you a few questions, you guys. What are you most looking forward to today at the pre-release?
Really just seeing how the cards work together in sealed. It's really nice that there's a level playing field as far as like everyone gets randomization as opposed to standard. You know, everybody picks from the same pot. That's going to be nice to see the skill level and what people can do with what they're given and also on the field. For me, I'm really just excited to get started with Standard, but this is a nice learning experience, you know, get a little bit more immersed into the atmosphere. But, I mean, I just love Pat. Pat's games is amazing. I've gone here since I was, like, 13, so.
Megan, I want you to look at the clock right now and tell me what time it is.
I can't read the clock.
Why not?
Because it's so far away, and I'm so tired.
I'll read it for you. It is 10 minutes to 5 a.m.
Aw.
We are just wrapping up our Gay Crash pre-release here at Pat's Games in Austin, Texas. And Megan looks like she's going to die. I feel like I'm going to die. Ben probably feels like he's going to die. He doesn't drink caffeine.
Yep.
So, people are still playing here. We just finished our games. Well, you didn't even finish your last game because your opponent didn't show up.
Bailed like a little bitch.
So, tell me how this went for you tonight.
You know what? It was okay. I wasn't super happy with Gruul.
Why not?
I just don't feel like... I feel like part of it might have been the packs that I opened. I didn't have as many cards with the Blood Rush mechanic as I would hope for. I really feel like I maybe had 4 or 5 cards with that. And I feel like for a guild mechanic, there probably needs to be a little bit more going on.
Yeah, like I played against a Blood Rush deck with my Boros Weenie deck, and I had no mana, so I got destroyed because he could hit me for like 11 a turn. It was not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, there were some turns where I was really happy. When I had cards that had the mechanic in my hand, I was so happy with them because you can surprise attack them for 12 points.
And it's not really, in some cases, pretty cheap.
It was Rubble Hulk, which was the card that came in
foil.
Yes, thank you for the pre-release. It gives. Oh my god, I'm so tired.
Megan, what part of your body hurts the most right now?
All of it. Okay, wait. So, Rubble Hulk, if you play it down, it costs 6, and however many lands you have, that's its power and toughness. For 3, for a cost of 3, you can Blood Rush it for however many lands that you have. So you can pay 3, but if you have 7 lands, you're giving a creature 7.
What?
And you're paying 3.
That's a deal.
Maria, sometimes it was beautiful.
I'm so tired. It sounds like I'm crying because my eyes are watering because I'm so tired. Anyway, this overall was a pretty fun pre-release. There's a shit ton of people here.
160.
Wow. And at our hall, Mead Hall, max we ever played with was 40.
Yeah, I bet you they capped it around 40.
Yeah, they did.
I miss Mead Hall right now.
I miss them too. They're not paying us, everybody. I swear to God, they really aren't. We just like it there. If you're in Minneapolis, play at Mead.
Yeah, they're nice.
They're nice. And anyway, yeah, this place is huge. There's like 3 buildings we played in. We played some rounds outside, which was cold for Texas, and my cutoff shorts.
And there's so many people. There's so many people.
All walks of life.
We wouldn't be playing until 5 in the morning at Mead.
Mostly nerds.
So many nerds. A gentleman who thinks it's okay to wear pajama pants underneath his shorts.
Oh my God, I just saw them.
Listeners, listen to me.
They're SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, they are. Look, whoever you are, I have no judgment. And we adore you for listening to this podcast. It's so nice of you to do that. But don't. You can't. You don't wear pajama pants under your shorts.
Ever.
Ever.
Megan has a kind of an air about her, like you would expect a marshmallow that's been out for a couple days, and it's kind of like drooping. A droopy marshmallow. I mean that in a nice way.
Thank you.
More like a droopy cupcake.
Oh. That's cute.
That's about how I meant it. I meant you're cute. Tired. I didn't. I'm just backpedaling now.
It's okay.
Well, listener, it was a great pre-release. I'm sitting here on a couch in Texas, and I couldn't be happier. This is my monologue because Megan's on the phone with her boyfriend, and Ben is collecting his prize winnings. It is currently 5 minutes to 5 a.m. and I'm excited to get back in that Fiesta rental car and pass out until maybe 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Wow, that was great.
Pretty awesome.
Thanks to everyone there who...
talked to us.
Yeah, did an interview with us. Even if you were a couple of those reluctant people who were like, who are you?
Why do you have a microphone in my face?
Why is this happening to me?
Why me?
Why me? Nancy Kerrigan was there.
All right. So
it's good to see she's bouncing back.
Yeah.
Our question and answer session today is also brought to you by the Gate Crash pre-release.
Yay! Dang. And it's about sealed decks because that's what we were building.
Yes. And we've talked about drafts
a lot.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
But sealed.
I just want to point out that the sealed deck format we did at the pre-release is not the same as the one we'll do going forward if you enter any sealed events, because for the pre-release you got to choose a guild and you got an entire pack of that guild. So for the most part, you didn't have to decide what guild you were going to play. It was basically a foregone conclusion that you're going to play whatever guild pack you chose, right?
I would be interested to know if anybody out there chose a guild and did not play it. I think it'd be pretty hard.
I agree.
I think I heard some guy say that he switched out of his guild because he just had no cards.
Oh, wow.
In his guild, which is pretty, that's pretty rough.
And actually, one of the guys that I played, Orzov the Orzov,
yeah,
his box was originally Dimir. And he was splashing blue, but his deck was primarily a good Orzov deck.
Dimirzov.
It was Dimirzov.
We've heard Borzov.
Borzov,
seems like
Dimirzov.
A pretty good guild. Anyway, sealed decks.
Or Oromir.
It's different because why do you think it might be harder to build a good sealed deck?
I actually think one of the hardest things about building a sealed deck is deciding which color combination you want to be. Because you're presented with a pool of a lot of cards and you have to lay them all out and evaluate and make that judgment call. And when I do sealed deck, and I'm no expert by any means, but that's what I always have the hardest time with, is laying those out and committing, not second-guessing my decision.
Right.
Just like when I had to call off that wedding.
Lick it and stick it.
I'm really sorry about that, Maria.
You know what, Ben? We've had a rough past. We're getting through it. Anyway, we have a list here of like seven steps for you to keep in mind. Get a fucking pencil and write this down.
Hold on.
Step zero, get a pencil.
What?
I'm going to really quickly mention just what a sealed sealed
please.
Format is.
What
because someone sent us an email. We do take feedback, guys.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's a little response to feedback.
Little nugget.
Where we were talking about some formats. And we weren't mentioning what they were. So sealed is where you get 5 packs and you open all 5 of those packs and you build a 40 card deck.
That is true, except it's 6 packs.
My bad.
Magic the amateuring. We're still amateurs, for real.
Yeah, so you get 6 packs and you want to build a limited deck, which is 40 cards, and you can use as many basic lands as you want.
Okay. But what's the number you should probably put in there, Ben?
You usually want 17 basic lands, 23 spells, and you usually want to put in quite a few creatures.
Right, but when you say spells, you don't necessarily mean only like sorceries and stuff.
Right.
You also mean creature spells.
Right, so you want 17 lands and 23 non-lands. Technically, all creatures, artifacts, enchantments, sorceries, and instants, those are all spells.
Right. Okay.
And planeswalkers.
Oh, we have a nomination for new Planeswalker, by the way. We'll talk about later.
Yes. If you want to be nominated as a Planeswalker, just send us an email.
With a picture.
Yeah.
Preferably shirtless. Anyway, all right, so we have some few quick steps to building a good sealed pool. Number one thing you want to do, open your packs. Don't leave them closed.
Yes, I've never seen a deck win that had a sealed pack in it.
Now, number two, separate your cards by color.
Yep. This can be especially tricky in Gatecrash because a lot of the cards are multiple colors. So you want to lay them out in order of the colors in the guilds and then put those multicolor ones kind of in between. And keep in mind that your hybrid cards can actually go like basically in like 4 different guilds.
Right. Number two, remove any card you think is unplayable.
Yep. So if a card is below a certain power threshold, it's probably not making your deck no matter what. Set it aside. You can revisit these cards later if you don't have enough cards that you consider playable to make a full deck. You can come back and figure out if some of these might make the cut. But for now, for purposes of deciding what color we want to go in, just set those aside like those collectible dishes you get from Hardee's, and we'll come back to them later.
What makes a card unplayable, Ben?
Just if a card doesn't have an effect on the board, if it's not flexible enough, or if it just isn't never going to help you win, that's what I consider a playable card. And really, it's just a judgment call. It depends on the overall power of the set, and if there's a lot of other playable cards in a color, that card might end up playable just because, you know, it's the last kid, he's no good at kickball, he's not going to get picked.
Yeah. I saw pain in your eyes when you said that right now.
I don't want to talk about it.
Step three.
You're going to pull out all your cards that are good bombs or good removal. So those are cards that are right on the top of your list for something that you would want in your deck. Mm. In this case, some good bombs or removal, like an Aurelia's Fury.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Ghost Council.
That's both double whammy.
Yep.
Yeah, basically right here, what you want is any card that has the potential to win you the game just on its own. because your opponent might not have a way to deal with it. And conversely, any card that can deal with their bomb. So pull those out. Those cards are going to pull you into one color or another. If the rest of your, you know, the power level of the rest of your cards is pretty even, these bombs are going to help you decide, okay, I should be in this color.
Sure. Step 4. You want a good creature curve, you know?
Aw, yeah.
34, 26, 30. Fucking, I don't know what that is.
You're just 36,
24, 36.
Waist measurements?
Is that the speed of a DVD rewritable?
Okay.
Yeah. You want a fine-looking creature curve. Mm.
The reason for this is...
That means lay them out by mana cost.
Yeah, so you want to lay out all your spells and creatures, your creatures and non-creature spells by mana cost, and just get an idea of how many cards you have in your deck at 1 mana, how many at 2, how many at 3, how many at 4, how many at 5, and how many at 6 and above. You usually don't want too many cards at higher than 5 mana. Because if you draw an opening hand that has only those cards, you might just lose before you even get a chance to play them.
Right, and that's true for draft as well. You've got to think. You should probably be winning, you know, up until that moment.
Right.
All right. So, in most cases, you want most of your creatures in it at, like, 3 and 4 mana. But in the case of Boros, for example, or Rakdos... you need lower than that because yep. They're very fast, aggressive guilds.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take that into account as well. All right. Step 5. If you're going to go ahead and play more than 2 colors, figure out your third color and what holes you need to fill in your 2-color plan.
Yeah. So if you're splashing here, you need a good reason. Good reasons include I have a very powerful card that I want to splash for. Another good reason is my pool happened to have a lot of mana fixing in it, and therefore splashing that color isn't going to screw up the rest of my deck most of the time.
Right. And mana fixing would be like a guild gate, right?
Yeah, guild gates would be the most common one in this set.
Axebane Guardian.
Yep.
Axebane Guardian, which is not in Gatecrash, but there's, I think... Yeah. In Return to Ravnica, Axebane Guardian is a good example. There's a green land enchantment, I think, that
yes.
adds a mana of any card, which is, I don't think it's great, but it's okay if you need the fixing. There's also the rare dual lands, and I think Prophetic Prism is maybe okay.
Yes.
Thespian's Stage?
No.
Ben doesn't like that card.
Thespian Stage is no good for fixing because it can only copy a land that's already in play.
Oh, I didn't notice that about it. So, I didn't look at that card that hard, so there you go.
Yeah, so if you don't have the color, then you can't copy it. And unless your opponent happens to have it. And also, it's kind of expensive. Like, you basically have to pay, like 2 or 3 mana or something just to copy something. I don't know, maybe it's okay, but don't rely on it. Have a backup plan. Be safe out there, guys.
Plan B. All right. Step 6, make sure your cards have synergy with each other.
Mm.
What does that mean?
I'm a big proponent of synergy.
Sure. Well, you're Celestia girl.
That's right. That's me.
Yeah.
Give us
an example of what synergy meant in Celestia.
One of the reasons why I love Celestia is because of the populate mechanic. And so for me, a good Celestia deck that has a lot of synergy is something that has a couple of creatures so that those, if they get bounced, can go back in your hand, unlike a token which just has to leave the board. But it's going to have enough cards that create creature tokens, and then it's going to have a lot of cards that allow you to populate in addition to doing something else. So something like that is like a Rootborn Defenses, a Tristani's Judgment, a Druid's Deliverance.
And the key is that these cards get better when combined. The populate cards
are
no good without tokens, and the token-making cards aren't that great without the populate cards.
Exactly.
Synergy.
So let's see. What's an example? Can you guys think of any examples of synergy in Gatecrash?
Ooh, I have a good one. I didn't have this, but an opponent did. He had a creature that allowed you, when you tapped a swamp, it created another swamp mana. Mm. So he would tap two swamps, and suddenly he had four swamp mana that he was using. And he was playing Orzhov.
Oh.
So that means he also had, I think, three or four creatures with Extort on the board.
Yep.
Sure. And that allowed him to just tap one mana, but he's extorting me twice on two of those cards, tapping two mana, extorting four times.
That's pretty cool.
Which, for me, that killed me in the second game. Yeah. Later, the next game, when that card came around, I killed that creature ASAP.
Nice.
Because it was what did me in.
I found, I don't know if this is technically synergy, but I found I had some unblockable guys in my Simic deck, three or four, and playing something like Hands of Binding and ciphering it onto an unblockable guy.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely synergy. Okay. Any cipher card becomes much better if you have an evasive creature, and especially an unblockable creature. So that's definitely synergy. Synergy in Boros is just having lots of small creatures to enable battalion and lots of battalion creatures to take advantage of that. And in Dimir, a good example of synergy, or another one, is just having a lot of mill cards. Mill is not very good if you just have a few of them, but if you have a lot of mill and you actually have a chance to kill them by removing all the cards from their library, it's pretty sweet. It's the best thing I've ever felt.
Ben, Megan.
And I don't have a lot of feelings.
Well, congratulations. They built a Mill Dimir deck out of our cards we did not use in the pre-release.
Yeah, none of us played Dimir, and so we're like,
let's build a Dimir.
We're like, we want to experience this for ourselves.
Yeah. And it turned out pretty good.
Megan, how did that make you feel?
Oh, man. Beating someone by milling them?
Which means removing all the cards from their library, because when you have zero cards in your library, you're dead, FYI. Yeah.
Right. Well, technically, you die when you try to draw a card and you can't.
Okay.
It's just as good as blood rushing an unblocked creature.
I've never milled someone to death, so I don't know yet.
So that's synergy. Basically, a good thing to look for is look at your pile and try to identify pairs of cards that are good with each other.
Right.
Ooh. I'm going to give another one from Celestia really quickly.
Yeah.
If you have a Wayfaring Temple, which when it deals damage to someone, it populates a token, and a Chorus of Might. Beautiful. Chorus of Might gives that creature trample.
Yeah.
So they block your Wayfaring Temple because they're trying to keep you from populating, and you throw down that Chorus of Might. Beautiful.
Boom, done. And the last step seven, what is your deck's plan? This is something I've read a lot about on the internet, and I didn't understand what it meant when I first read it. I'm like, what do you mean? My plan is to win. Mm. But really understanding how this guild and how your deck are supposed to work and how they're best set up and created to work and making sure you know that going into the game. What do I need to do to win? Boros, I need to attack early and often, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to know your game plan going in and build your deck to support that game plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a plan is really important. And as you get more experience with Gatecrash, you should pick up on things like, you know, how are my opponents beating me? Are they playing evasive creatures and I just have no way to block them and so they're killing me? Or are they just so aggressive that I die before I have a chance to play my cards? Or, you know, do they just block everything I'm trying to do and eventually win just by, you know, draining me out with extort or something like that.
Sure.
So having a plan is important because all of your cards need to help work towards that plan, and basically any game you play, you are either, you know, you're either the more aggressive deck or the less aggressive deck in the matchup. So all of your decisions, you want to think about, okay, is it better for me to make this game go longer, or is it better for me to try to win right away? And because you don't know what cards you're going to draw, You want to set up your deck so that any card you draw is going to help you with whatever plan you're trying to execute.
Brilliant.
Moving on, we have our euphemism of the week.
Sure.
So this week's euphemism is brought to you by marriageable ladies.
Women of a certain age.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm.
How old is that age, Maria?
How old is, late 20s?
Sure.
Ben, how old are you going to be on Friday?
Guys, I'm turning 30. on coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe you're listening to this on the day I turn 30.
How are you going to feel?
I'm going to feel the same as I ever was.
So you're not, we shouldn't need to remove like the sharp objects from your house or anything?
No, I can be trusted. I'm an adult.
So when you're playing Magic, you can use the expression, you know, like I have them on a 5-turn clock. I have them on a 10-turn clock.
What does that mean?
Which is based on the cards that are currently on the board. Yeah. How many turns can you kill them in?
Right.
But in real life, you would say that, you know, a woman who's 28 years old is on a 12-turn clock.
Yeah.
Because that's how many years she has to have a baby.
You guys, I'm feeling a lot of pressure from both of you right now.
Well, Maria, I mean, you're the one who wants to have that baby, right?
You're on that 12-turn clock,
listeners,
Maria.
I have no desire to crap out a kid.
So
that's what your conscious mind tells us, and yet you're dropping subtle clues all the time.
Like what, Pen?
Like you keep cradling things.
I do that. Oh my god.
And you've adopted a lot of small children.
Oh, I did.
Without realizing it.
Fuck. Yep. Should I feed them?
You should probably give them back to their parents.
Oh, that's right. I kidnapped them.
But barring that, yes, please feed them.
Okay.
So you can use that for the ladies in your life, whether they are.
Yes, listener, definitely.
Definitely say this to your friends who are women if you want a swift kick in
the
nuts.
Wait, I said for the ladies in your life, not to the ladies in your life faces.
Yeah. Say it behind their backs.
Exactly, Ben. Exactly.
The show's all about friendship.
After someone leaves the room, say, man, is she on a 3-turn clock or what?
We're creating horrible people.
Precisely.
We'll talk about this more in our upcoming Valentine's Day special.
We got a new feature this week, everybody. Who's excited?
Me.
Yay!
Create a card. We decided, why should wizards have all the fun? We're going to create some cards.
And they're going to be awesome.
All right, Ben. What card have we created this week?
Well, this is a top-down design.
Sure.
Meaning, we drew inspiration from the real world.
Okay.
And wanted to turn that into a card. And the name of the card is Sleepy Goblin.
And where did you draw inspiration from this?
Well, Megan is a pretty fucking sleepy person.
That's true. I like to nap all the time.
And when she's in the process of trying to wake up, she is not ungoblin-esque.
I think Maria is the one who invented the phrase sleepy goblin.
Incorrect. It was Ben.
Oh.
Creative genius, Ben.
He invented it in a parking garage.
Wow, I'm creeped out.
Well, you shouldn't have fallen asleep in that parking garage.
Fair.
I mean, I think it's a pretty cute term, personally.
Yes. So, what are
the mechanics
exactly?
Here?
Exactly.
Sleepy Goblin costs 1 red mana. He's a 1/1, and he comes into play tapped.
And he just stays tapped.
He doesn't untap as normal, but if he takes damage, untap Sleepy Goblin.
But he's probably dead.
Yeah, it's a Johnny card. It's definitely a Johnny card.
What? What does that mean?
Oh, well, Johnny is a psychograph. He's a type of player. Some Magic players like weird cards, like discard your entire hand, for example.
Right.
And they want to find ways to make shitty cards like that really good. And they'll go to the ends of the earth to do it. And so, Johnny...
I don't see how Sleepy Goblin could ever be good.
Well, Johnny, if you, listener, yeah. if you're a Johnny and you want to prove Maria wrong, build a Sleeping Goblin deck. Wait, is it Sleeping or Sleepy?
Sleepy
Goblin. The Sleepiest Goblin deck. And
show us how it works.
Yeah, email it to us.
We'd love that. MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
Finally, our great moments in addiction.
Right. Mm. It's pretty obvious this week.
We were up at 5:30 in the morning
playing Magic.
And we flew to Austin to do it.
We did.
Yes.
And Ben, you don't drink caffeine, so that was extra hard for you.
Yeah, my bones were trying to vibrate out of my skin.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so that shows some dedication. We had a great time, though. Yeah. Texas, we're sitting out here in the sun, in shorts.
Yeah.
Ben's nude. It's
we took
great.
A nap outside.
We did.
I used my wallet as a pillow.
Someone took photographs of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you see photographs of people napping outside, please contact us and the police.
Because we definitely had our picture taken. And we're sitting outside the Capitol now, so thanks,
thanks,
Texas government.
Thanks to the government of Texas. Yeah. You've done so much.
Really? You have. All right, so that's all we have for this episode. I want to say a personal thank you to everyone who's listened through MTGcast.
Yeah. And shout out to Chewy.
Chewy. My man.
We love you.
We love you.
If you're listening to this, and I assume you are because I assume you listen to all 500 hours of podcasts that are uploaded every week.
Right.
Thank you.
I want to especially thank anybody who's listened while our podcasts were in mono and not in stereo because we had some technical issues, which have now been resolved.
Yeah. We got that cleared up.
So thanks
we stopped making out with strangers.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Until later.
Give us a snore, Sleepy Goblin.